I've been doing meditation 5 to 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 hours a day. I'd been doing it for about 4 months. I was up in Manoa Valley. I was studying. I would go out only for very short periods, and I wouldn't talk to too many people. I remember one of the fellows I used to talk to was Jerry Hughes, sitting right here. I used to go down to the Central Bookstore when he was working there. I'd go in, and I'd be looking for something, and Jerry would ask me a question, and it would be just the question I needed for the answer I'd been looking for. And here I was at a point of consciousness. Anybody asked me a question, I had an answer. And boy, these answers used to channel out. Then I'd go and I'd say, my goodness, where did that come from? I'd drive my car home and boy, I'd be all thrilled by it and everything. And then I'd go home and I'd say, dear God, forgive me for being so arrogant. Forgive me for getting all caught up in that. Forgive me for separating myself and not realizing that anybody can do that. And I would seek humility. I would seek humbleness so that I wouldn't be arrogant and lord over people with this power. Remember, it was Jerry Hughes right here. It was the first time I ever psychometrized something. He says, here's this necklace. Tell me about this necklace. I took that necklace. I put it in my hand. I told him all about this girl. And he says, well, that's the girl who likes the necklace. What about the one that made it? And I said, well, I told him about the one that made it. I says, well, that's the strongest impression I got off of it. Some other girl wasn't the girl that made it. It was another girl that liked it a lot. I remember that. Described her and everything. I was telling her about her attitudes and about the way she was acting, right? If you read, you'll understand that the power is given to each individual by consensus or agreement. I agree that you are sons and daughters of God. It's a gift. Well, Jesus gave you the same gift. Buddha gave you the same gift. Krishna gave you the same gift. They all said that you were God conscious, that you were a child of God, that you were one with God, that you were God as God experiencing on this dimension. They all told you those things in other words or terms or stories or cones that they knew they would tell them in these cones and these stories. It was easy to remember. You know, there wasn't much written language then. So they had to do these in rhymes and cones and stories. So they were easy to remember and easy to relate to. I mean, someone that's tending some sheep and is living out on the side of a hill and that, it's better to talk to them about a sheep herder and sheep than it is to talk to them about a dynamic master force within them that controls all other forces. Oh yeah, what is that? Ignorant man had no knowledge of these things. These great masters come in to reiterate it. Well, upon the planet now is that same, very same movement coming again, and it comes at the end, toward the end of every century, that movement into spiritual consciousness. And at the end of every great 2,000-year cycle, and at the end of every 56,000-year cycle, man gets the impression again, so he realizes who he is. And all the experience his incarnating soul, going lifetime after lifetime, has gained this great, beautiful light that has been manifested out of the darkness, has been taken and turned the darkness into light. That light is with you. That is your aura. That's your causal body of light. That's you. And that's what you are taking back to the Father. You've been sent out on a mission. You are all light beings out to collect light and bring it back. And how do you do that? By refining things out of a chaotic state into a harmonious state. I mean, you do it with everything you do. You get a job, you go in there, and you're a little chaotic at first until you get harmonious, and it starts flowing. You get married, you're chaotic, and pretty soon that gets together and starts flowing. Sometimes. Most of the time. It happens in everything we do. We go to school, we're all confused. What's this? What do we got to do? Walk? Stand? How about when we get in this body? We fall down, try to get up, and fall down, try to get up. Pretty soon we can stand up. pretty soon we can run. First time, legs are banging all over, falling down, bumping into ourselves. So we get coordinated. Out of that chaotic energy comes harmonious vibrations. Out of the chaotic limitations of your mind and delusion comes harmony that brings you into the realization of sonship or daughtership with God. But to realize in yourself consciously that you're a son or daughter of God, that you are one with God. And to think that God is not here touching you right now is an illusion. Oh, and then dark forces are happy to have you have that illusion because you are feeding them. Every moment of your existence, you are feeding the black force or the white force or the crystal force. Are you the master of your being? Are you clear with God? Are you clear with yourself? Are you clear with the people around you? That is harmony. When things are clear, when they are harmonious, when they are smoothly running. Not when they're negative or they're positive, not when they're right or they're wrong. It's when they are there, neutralized, when they are in harmony, when they're flowing with all other things. Not like a cancer cell in the body that drains upon those near it. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of cancerous cells in humanity that drain and suck the life, physical, emotional, and mental, from other beings. I realized at one point what an energy ripoff I was. Energy ripoff. Can you imagine that? I was a show-off. I mean, anybody that would stand on a motorcycle doing 60 miles an hour down the freeway, standing up on the seat, had to be a show-off or a little crazy, and I was called both at that time. I was about 19 years old. Remember the policeman pulled me out, he said, I don't know what I'm going to write here, but you did something that's wrong. And he had to call in to find out what to get. You know what they got me for? Reckless driving. Well, I seen this carload of pretty little girls, and I had to stand up on that bicycle and go, on that motorcycle, and wave at them. Lay out on my banana seat. Well, that was to get their attention. Many of us are rip-offs that way. We have to have that attention. We have to have that emotional attention. We have to have that mental attention. We have to have that physical attention. And when you have to have those things, you are deluded from the realization that you already have all the attention you would ever need. God loves you, and He'll let you know that within yourself every moment of your existence, whether you're around anybody else or not. You'll be in that flow. You'll be in that area of consciousness. It'll be in you as you flowing through you. And you'll realize it in consciousness, not some vague imagining, not some fantasizing daydream or illusion, but in reality, as conscious of you as you are of your hand, as you are of your foot, as you are of your breath, you'll be as conscious of that realization that you're a son or daughter of God. I'll tell you, when you first realize it, the negative forces are going to run in there and say, oh no, remember when you did this bad thing? Remember that? Remember when you used to pinch the cat's tail? That doesn't get you. Remember how mean you were to little Johnny? Or remember how bad you were to your brother or your sister? Or the tricks you played on your mom and dad? Or burning down the schoolhouse? Well, I didn't do that. I don't think anybody else did it. But I mean, that's the way the old guilt game plays. The past is past. And you'll never realize your son and daughtership in the past. The only place is here and now. Here and now. Here and now. See how it just moves? It's ever changing. But it's never changing. The here and now is always the here and now. But it's ever changing because the here and now is ever changing. It's changing, never changing, but ever changing. Interesting. When you can come into that here and now, when you can focus here, what happened this morning? I don't remember what happened this evening. I would have to go back and recall what happened an hour ago. I'm always here. I'm right here, right now. I'm always right here, right now. I'm not thinking what I did yesterday. I'm not thinking of what I've got to do. I'm doing what I need to do right now. Right at this moment, I channel what needs to be channeled. You must move into that same space of consciousness. And you must hold yourself there until it is natural. Until it's natural to be that way. It's natural for you to just put your pants on without even thinking about it. I mean, you go, oh, let's see, which leg do I? You don't do that anymore, do you? In fact, you're saying, I wonder what I'm going to do today. Oh, gee, I'm all dressed. Did I brush my teeth? Oh, yeah, I brushed my teeth. Did I shave? Oh, yeah, I shaved already. I already took a shower. How many do that? When I take a shower, I'm right there in consciousness. I chant the whole time to keep the self right there. And I'm not only showering my body, but I'm showering my aura with that chant. To realize this oneness is very simple. And it's been in all the religions, whether you're doing it through Gregorian chant or you're doing it through Eastern chant, through mantram and decree, through chanting or chants, you're actually pulling the power of that realization as you call for it. Now at first, the subconscious mind has a lot of cluttering up in there that'll say, gee, what am I doing this for? Doesn't that sound silly? And just, I'm going to put me home. I mean, I hope nobody hears me. I'm going to put me home. They'll wonder what I'm doing. I'm wondering what I'm doing. That's why you're thinking somebody else will wonder what you're doing. Did you notice how when you're doing something yourself, you think everybody else is doing the same thing? Did you ever think that everybody knew the same thing? Did you ever think that everybody was the same? In essence. But by degree, it's realized. The chant, at first, may seem a very silly thing. One of the most... What looks more like a fool than a man that sits around ringing a bell and chanting? To someone that says, hey, I gotta go out there and make some money because I can get a car, I can get this house, and I can get this, and I can get this thing. Me, mine, material. Got all these things. Gee, I wonder why I'm not happy. And here's something like, I'm gonna buy me home. And he's really happy. Why is he happy? He's free in the here and now, see? The real accept. How about the guy who's going home and about me and says, hey, the poor guy, man, he's got all that trouble. He's got all that death, disease, and suffering. He's all that material things. He has to carry him around. He has to worry about him. I knew when I was up in Tao about 4 years ago, see, I've been enlightened many times and fell. Enlightened and fell. 1957, I remember Zen master saying, Centauri. What's that? I gotta find God. I gotta get realization. I gotta find a way of getting wisdom. And he would ask me, what'd you learn in meditation today? I'd go, la 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 la. I could give him a discourse for an hour if he wanted it. And he'd say, Centauri. I didn't know that was illumination through meditation. I didn't know I had that power. I mean, nobody told me. I mean, what was Centauri? I don't know what that was. Samadhi. I know. The other day we were up and there was a Catholic priest and a social worker, social. What was she? Sociologist. And there was another young man there who had just come back from being with Muktananda and been studying a lot about the suttas and that. And I would say something. Oh, the suttas. What are these? You know? Thinking suttas. All these words to describe realization or becoming one with the one. Becoming one with the one. To realize son or your daughtership. To realize that you're one with the one. And I mean, even after you realize it, like in the I Am discourses, they tell about the goddess of light. As she stood upon this planet, 500 years she was here. Every day devoted to God, up to God. One day she failed. And she fell. After 500 years of perfect practice, one day, it's that way, my friends. You have been freed so many times, and then you bind yourself. You have to come as a child. Remember when you were a child? Gee, you were just looking, what am I going to do today? You might wonder what you're going to do tomorrow. Did you wonder what you were going to do next year? Or what you did last year? No, as a child, you never had that much attention strung out. You weren't strung out. Your awareness wasn't strung out in substance. Because you were open. When somebody told you something, you believed them. You were in truth. And then when people start tricking you, that's when you start getting suspicious. And then that blow came when you were about 16 years old and you found out mom and dad had been telling you something that isn't true. Well, how do you know it wasn't true? But you had that realization it wasn't true. Then you go and you have something now that mom and dad isn't quite the same in your eyes. How many times have you been open? Oh, boy, I'm going to be open. This relationship, I'm going to really be open. And then someone comes in there with combat boots and stamps all over your emotions. Oh, the next relationship is, well, when they prove their self, then I'll be open. And that's what happens to people. Well, you got to prove it to me. Well, prove me. Prove it to me that I can be a son of God. Prove it to me that I can be a daughter of God. Prove it to me I can be a child of God. Well, that's what they've done. That's what the masters have come and done. That's what they have demonstrated over and over and over again. They told you how they did it. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. What a fantastic law. Not just something to make you feel guilty because you don't do what you're supposed to do, but a law that works through all dimensions, the physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual dimension. That's a like tracks a like. That what goes out will come back. Have you noticed how that happens? Everything you've ever done comes coming back to you. All the good you've ever done, all the bad you've ever done, it comes back to you. And if you're in the point of consciousness, of realization that you're a son or a daughter of God, that if you've done something negative, you are free from that sin, because when it comes back by the very light of the higher energies, it is transmuted before it ever comes into conscious awareness. You have been saved. You have been converted. You have reached salvation. You have reached all those terms that most people don't even know what they are. You have come to that point of being a son or daughter of God. Because now the negative forces will no longer bombard you. But if you don't believe that you're that, I mean, you can believe it one day, and the next day if you don't believe it, guess what happens? Changing, ever-changing, but never-changing by your own free will creation. How many times have you just really felt good and everything's going great and you say, hey, something's wrong here. Just like the story Muktananda tells us about the man. He's going to the spiritual city. I'm going to the spiritual city to be enlightened, to realize that I'm a son of God. Off he goes on a spiritual journey. Oh, he walks and he walks. You know, the path gets weary. You know, it's a long way. So he wants to sit down and rest a little bit. So he gets under this tree. But he didn't realize that this tree was a wishing tree. Grant him all of his wishes. He says, oh, this is such a beautiful spot. What a beautiful place. I wish I had someone to share it with. And immediately a beautiful girl appeared. She came over and sat down and they started talking. Wow, this is really something. I'm really glad to share this with you. He says, I wish I had a house. I'd take you in and give you something to eat. And immediately, right behind him, there was a house. Oh, look at that. They got up and into the house they went. When they walked in the door, there was a nice table with linen and fine china all over it. He said, this would be great if we only had someone to serve us. Immediately, there appeared some servants with just trays overladen with all kinds of good things to eat. There before them, it was set array of just a feast. There they are eating, and he's talking to this girl, and he says, You know, there's something strange going on around here. I wonder if there's a monster. And guess what happened? The monster appeared. He looked at the girl and he says, "Watch out, or he might eat us." Guess what happened? That's the same way with our minds. Things are going along real good, and all of a sudden we say, "Wait a minute, there must be something wrong here. What's wrong?" And when we start looking for something wrong, by choice, free will, we start magnetizing that wrong to us so that we can have the experience of it. See? The wrong isn't right or wrong. It's just coming. The good isn't good or bad. It's just coming. And it's what you identify with. Dr. Schuller says that there are 10,000 opportunities every month for you to realize your oneness with God. How many must that be a day? Every moment you have that opportunity to stop and go within. The One was the One in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And nothing was made that was not made by God. He's alive right now. Touching you. He is you, as you, and when you accept that, the unfoldment of your sonship or daughtership of God will start, and petal by petal, degree by degree, you'll come into blossom and full realization of blessings of life.
Thank you, Reverend Heskey, for that beautiful channel on sonship and daughtership. Right now we're going to prepare for our time of offering. As we become still, let us hold our blessings and recognize that our prosperity is endless, and affirm to ourselves silently, "The God Spirit in me blesses me abundantly. The God Spirit in me blesses me abundantly." Let's affirm this once out loud. "The God Spirit in me blesses me abundantly. Nothing is too good to be true. Nothing is too wonderful to happen. Nothing is too good to last. When you look to God for your good, God in life loves a cheerful giver." You may wonder what your offerings and tithes and gifts are being used for with astrophysics. We have many things going on. We have our radio program that's on every Thursday for an hour. It pays for the airtime. We have a correspondence course that we're getting ready to produce that we're putting funds towards. We have our volunteer program out at the state prison that requires certain funds for the materials to teach the class. And we also have our two new classes starting on Maui and meditation groups on the mainland. So we thank you for your tithes and your offerings, and know that they are being put to good use.
Close our eyes and bow our head. Dear Father, Mother God, through Christ's holy and precious Spirit and the ascended Master's light, we bless this offering. Let each know that in this tithing is a realization of tithing to God, the Father. Let them know through the gifts that they give the full realization of their sonship and daughtership. Let them know if they are selfless or selfish in their giving. But let this return to them in a bountiful way. Let it fill their life with the realization of their One with the One. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened unto you is the call. At this moment, dear Father, We ask, we make the call to bless each and every one here. Thank them for their gifts. We thank them from our heart. Let them know if they did not give a gift of money, if they gave a gift of love, it is just as precious. If they can see the work of God going on the planet, it is greater than any gift of paper. Let them know that this reality will manifest in full realization of their oneness with all things. We bless this offering. And dear Father, Mother, God, channel it into those realms that will do your most gracious and great work. The full realization of every man, woman, and child upon the planet, fully realized in God. Amen. Before we have our closing meditation, we always open for questions. If you have any questions about the discourse that we had tonight, or any spiritual questions, or maybe you're going through some experience that you might need some clarification on, at this time we open for questions. If we know the answer, we give it to you. If we don't know the answer, we just simply say we don't know. So are there any questions? Yes. Melchizedek was a master, just like Jesus and Buddha. Kuan Yin and El Mori and many other beings that came out of the greater monadic light of man, meaning the higher structures of light, closer to God, to lead mankind out of its ignorance and its darkness of separation from humanity. He taught 3,000 years before Christ on the planet. And his teachings in truth and realization, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt honor thy mother and father, thou shalt have but one God, and all of these teachings were come from Melchizedek. But they weren't originated by him. They were originated by the laws of creative beingness in the cosmic forces. And the cosmic law is interpreted through those particular words. As we do unto others, and so shall we get it back. As we, thou shalt not steal, if you know one's stolen from, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not do those, the thou shalt nots. There were seven of them that Melchizedek taught. There was 10 that Jesus taught. So Melchizedek was a master that came on the planet and taught us. I'm not exactly sure of his area. I think it was Syria. He was in Syria. He spoke seven languages. He was a very enlightened being. In an age where most people were ignorant, didn't even know how to read or write, it was only the most high of the race that could read and write. And so those that could read and write could bring the wisdoms forward to those that were ignorant. Just as now, there's so much of the wisdoms already out to the people. But by belief is how you demonstrate them. If you don't believe in something, there's no way it's going to work for you. But if you believe in it, it will work. See, and that's the quality of the higher energies, is belief and faith. And the lower energies will work off of their patterns or their cycles. Where the higher energies are unmanifested and are waiting for you as the creator, localized, to demonstrate. So when you realize the son or daughtership within yourself, you realize also the Father, and you realize that the Father and you are one, as Jesus did, as the other masters did. And you realize that oneness, as its all-pervading essence, stretches beyond the limitations of just body consciousness, beyond the limitations of planetary consciousness, beyond the limitations of this solar system, beyond the limitations of this nebula, beyond, until on to infinity. You realize that you're infinite, immortal, eternal, absolute, when you realize that the Father and you are one, just as Jesus realized and demonstrated. Anything you can realize, you can demonstrate. Anything you can realize, you can demonstrate. Because realization is stepping into the omniscience or the cycles or how things work. Other questions? Yes. For expression, it was all one. It was everything was all the same. And so that was called the night of Brahma, when everything had gone back to its oneness. Before that, there was another day of creation, just as this is called a day of creation. God needed to express himself in minute energies instead of one absolute one being that had nothing else to relate to but himself, which he has nothing else to relate to now, but he's working within himself. I don't know. Why don't you ask him? I know that he created form. I know that he expressed himself, and I know that he is infinitely minute as well as infinitely infinite. And I believe the stories of all the great masters. I'm not at the point of saying they're wrong or questioning their teachings, because the science works throughout all creation. There wasn't harmony in the beginning. There was chaos created. And out of the chaotic energies came harmony. And the chaos came when God separated himself into two essences. And don't be deluded and think that on this side was all the darkness and on this side was all the light. See, it didn't work that way. It was all pervading, and within it, light started manifesting out of the substance, meaning it impacted portions of itself to become denser. See, it was all one essence at one point, and then it came into many, many fields of essence. And this is taught to us in the Yoga Sutras, and it's taught to us in the Christian Bible. It's taught to us in Buddhism. It's taught in all the great religions of the world. And the reason it's taught to you is so you know that it's right here, right now, and that's exactly what you're doing. You're the consciousness that is taking spirit into matter and matter into spirit. When you have an idea of a chair, and then you start giving it, knowing what a chair is, and then you give it description and feel what it's like, then you take actions to create the chair. That's bringing spirit into matter. See? When you are taking your prayers, which are and physical energies, and you're sending them upwards, then you're taking matter into spirit through the science of the spoken word. You're taking something that is very dense into a finer substance, and something that's fine into a dense substance. See? And this creation is going on simultaneously, moving out and moving in at the same time, so everything is. It's in a state of being. And in a point of reason and logic, I could stand here and talk all day long, and you would not realize it if you are using reason and logic. The only way you realize it is to go to the point of realization. And realization is only realized through direct knowledge. You have to realize that self realize it. See, no matter what, like I told you earlier in the discourse, no matter what I say, it won't convince anybody of anything unless they realize it within themselves. The truth is only realized progressively within oneself, even though the truth is reality and it is the power and it's everything it is. The truth is. Only illusion separates us from that. That's as clear as I can comprehend it. Other questions? Well, let's have our closing meditation then. If you want to lay down on the floor, you can.